Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the MicroX Limited Leadership Transition and Quarterly Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Knox, Chair of MicroX. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. Welcome, everyone. My name is David Knox, Chair of the Board of Directors at MicroX, and I'm pleased to welcome you all today to MicroX's investor call to discuss our leadership transition as announced at the ASX this morning, as well as our results for the March quarter. I'm joined today by Kingsley Hall, who has been announced as our new Chief Executive Officer. Also with me are Anthony Skeets, our Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Brian Gonzalez, who's beaming in from Seattle, our CEO Americas and Chief Scientific Officer.
Thanks, David. It's Kingsley here in Tonsley.
Hi, everybody. It's Anthony Skeets here in Tonsley.
Thank you, David. This is Brian Gonzalez from MicroX in Seattle.
Thank you very much, everyone. So in a moment, I will talk to the details and rationale for the transition of our leadership team and the retirement of our founder, MD, and CEO, Peter Rowland. I'll then hand back to Kingsley to provide a brief overview of our operations and financial matters for the quarter ending 31st of March 2023, which we outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX on the 27th of April. We will then open up to questions and answers, and for those that are not able to attend, a recording of this call will be available on our website shortly. Now to begin, I would like to welcome our new Chief Executive, Kingsley Hall.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Can I say firstly how excited I am to be speaking with everyone today as our company's new Chief Executive and to have been entrusted with this opportunity to lead MicroX, which I genuinely believe is an exceptional Australian company with world-leading talent and technology. Before we start, I would, however, like to cover off on one brief formality and remind everyone on the call that today's call may contain forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. I'll now hand back to you, David.
Thank you, Kingsley. So let me begin with the transition of our leadership team with the appointment of Kingsley Hall for the role of Chief Executive Officer of MicroX, effective from today. Kingsley, of course, is well known to many of you, having joined our team in February 2020 as our Chief Financial Officer, at a time when we saw the need to strengthen our commercial and financial capabilities. He has performed outstandingly in that role, and while he led major improvement of our financial and governance systems, he was also instrumental in driving a number of our key relationships and initiatives. These include the $15 million partnership and funding arrangements that we struck with Varex Imaging last year, as well as leaving our balance sheet debt-free with the repayment of our SAFA facility and the unwinding of the convertible notes with Thales. As Kingsley will touch upon when he talks to our current position and near-term objectives, the board and I believe that as a company, we are at a key juncture in our evolution from a technically led to a commercially led enterprise. Our Argus IED X-ray camera, which has no peer in either security or defense markets, is close to its commercial launch and presents as our nearest and most important value driver. We continue to receive strong interest from highly influential industry customers eager to trial and buy this technology from us, which we expect will bring strong cash flows and far more attractive margins than our Rover unit, which competes in a crowded market. Similarly, our airport checkpoint team, under the outstanding stewardship of Brian Gonzalez and his team in Seattle, is on track to deliver working prototypes of our groundbreaking new miniature baggage scanner and self-check-in systems to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security this year. The enormous opportunity in front of us here will be to advance our commercial readiness and plot a pathway to customer adoption and sales. And finally, our range of mobile DR commercial products, while widely regarded as competitive to other units available with a number of significant technical advantages, has not achieved the consistent level of sales that we are satisfied with, and we believe we must do better. So the board and I consider now is the right time for Kingsley to become the next chief executive of MicroX, with Peter Rowland retiring after 12 years in the role and moving to become a non-executive director. We see Kingsley as a leader with a strong commercial and financial background, making him an ideal person to lead MicroX into the next phase of commercial development. In line with our succession planning, Kingsley was our ideal candidate and will, of course, be able to hit the ground running because he already has deep knowledge of all four of our operating divisions, as well as the respect of our staff, our partners, and our key customers. I would add that while Kingsley came to us as our CFO, he's been supporting the leadership team from an operational and commercial perspective for some time. Prior to joining MicroX, in addition to his substantial CFO experience, Kingsley held senior operational roles where he was responsible for significant sales and profitability outcomes and is suitably accustomed to the accountability and, more importantly, the performance we need to lead our company to commercial success. Now, as I mentioned, we have also used this as an opportunity to strengthen and focus our leadership team with the promotions of Anthony Skeets and Brian Gonzalez. Anthony will become our Chief Operating Officer with responsibility for all engineering and development activities, including our product manufacturing of Rover and Argus systems. As our CEO, Anthony will effectively be charged with ensuring our technology remains cutting edge and delivers next generation outcomes for our customers, while also ensuring we can deliver highly robust products at scale with industry-leading margins that will be necessary for future success. Brian Gonzalez will now have an expanded role from Chief Scientific Officer to also be the CEO of our American operations. Based in Seattle, Brian will continue to lead our highly skilled team of US-based engineers and software developers, while also driving our commercial US operations, including the US Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, and of course, the many high-value US police and bomb squads that Argus can service. Brian is already highly respected and known to many of these organizations, and we look forward to his continued success. It gives me great pleasure to be here to present to you three outstanding leaders for the future of our company, led, of course, by Kingsley, who will drive our renewed commercial focus and performance. Before I hand back to Kingsley, it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge our deepest gratitude and appreciation for Peter Rowland on behalf of the whole board, as well as our dedicated MicroX team and our shareholders and partners. As many of you know, Peter founded MicroX in Melbourne in 2011 with a novel idea and a passion to create revolutionary X-ray products to better lives. It has been Peter's vision, energy, and leadership which has taken his idea and turned it into the company we are today, becoming a force in global radiology and security markets. It also pleases me that as Peter retires, his knowledge will not be lost to us. He will remain on our board and be available for 6 months to assist Kingsley as needed. I am sure all of you will join me in wishing Peter and his family every success as he moves into retirement and the next chapter in his life. Turning now to the business at hand and how we can best serve all shareholders, I will pass back to Kingsley. Thank you all.
Thank you, David. And before I talk to the results for the quarter, I wanted to add a few introductory remarks. Firstly, I'd like to echo David's remarks and thank Peter for his outstanding contributions and building MicroX into the business we are today. He has been a true mentor of mine And when I consider the challenges that lay ahead, it's Peter's legacy of being the culture of innovation, collaboration and dedication that he has created in our organisation that'll be one of the most important things that will help us succeed. As the new Chief Executive of MicroX, my focus will be on driving the business to greater commercial success while also addressing some of our shortcomings, especially the sales performance of our mobile DR business. We are considering multiple plans to better leverage our mobile DR product portfolio and technology and ensure it becomes a profitable business line and contributor to our success. We will not rule out any approach to monetise our technology and leverage the great value we have built in the development of our X-ray tubes and generators. My other immediate focus will be the successful commercial launch of Argus, getting that program back on track to deliver us a new revenue stream this year and putting the delays of the last 12 months behind us. As David mentioned, I feel our airport checkpoint products lead all competition, but with an opportunity of this size to transform an industry, we cannot rest on our laurels. We must deliver working prototypes to the TSA this year and then expand new funded development opportunities and formulate plans to engage and sell these airport security products to multiple customers or partners over the next year or two. By way of report on the quarter's activities, I'll now run through each of our four business units and our achievements in the March 23 quarter. Firstly, our work with Varex continues to progress well, and this was recognised as we achieved both the second and third milestones under the Varex licensing agreement, which triggered cash receipts to our company totaling $3 million. The MicroX and Varex teams are making significant progress in enabling Varex to utilise the MicroX Next technology in the field of multi-beam X-ray tubes, and we are confident of achieving the final two milestones before the end of this calendar year, which will bring an additional $3 million in milestone payments to MicroX. As we've touched on, our mobile DR performance this quarter was below expectations, with a little over $800,000 in sales. One pleasing aspect is that in line with our strategy to reduce our inventory on our balance sheet and convert that to cash flow, the majority of these sales were from completed units that were in our Seattle warehouse. In the growing field of sports medicine, our US sales team attended the Major League Baseball spring training camp in Arizona to showcase the mobility and versatility of the MicroX Rover as a way to better diagnose their athletes. We completed our first sales of the Rover Plus to several professional baseball and ice hockey teams, and we'll use these as reference sites to drive further sports medicine sales. Closer to home, the medical team from the Alfred Hospital had a Rover Plus on hand and in action trackside at the Australian Formula One Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago. In Europe, we've been frustrated for some time by the delay in receiving CE mark approval, but thankfully this quarter, our notified body has finally advised that they are now able to commence their review of our submission for MDR or CE mark approval. We will keep you updated on this as we look forward to finally being able to convert our sales pipeline in Europe. Now moving on to our X-ray camera business unit, the Argus. The focus has been on small changes to the mechanical configuration and image reconstruction and processing software. The team's confident that we've now dealt with all development hurdles, and over the next month we plan to build productionised versions of the Argus so that we can commence customer demonstrations to Australian police and defence personnel. During the quarter, our checkpoints team once again achieved their development milestones and remain on time and on budget for both the miniature CT baggage scanner and the self-screening checkpoint programs for the US Department of Homeland Security. An official preliminary design review was held for the self-screening checkpoint module with the Department of Homeland Security and the Transportation Security Administration, with the result that we now have an approved initial design for the self-check-in portal. Our work on brain CT for the Australian Stroke Alliance also continued on time and on budget. A key highlight was completing the image acquisition test rig, which simulates the operation of the array of a number of miniature X-ray tubes. Our image data was then reconstructed to give us a first look at what the raw images will look like in the final unit design. This is an important proof of concept step for a stroke imaging product capable of imaging patients in clinical trials during 2024. Anthony also presented a full-scale model of our miniaturised CT brain scanner and the latest brain images to a stroke awareness event at Parliament House in Canberra. Now, turning to our financial results as reported in the Appendix 4C lodged with the ASX on the 27th of April, and I note the numbers that I'll be referring to are all in Australian dollars, and in accordance with ASX listing rules, these are not audited. So for the quarter ended 31 March 2023, we built, shipped and invoiced approximately $840,000 of mobile DR units and parts. We received $600,000 in customer receipts from sales, a further $1.4 million from our contract with the DHS, and as mentioned, the $3 million from the Varex technology transfer agreement. We had cash outflows from operations of $7.5 million, resulting in net operating cash outflows of $2.6 million. We had minor cash outflows of approximately $60,000 from investing activities for buying some additional capital equipment. And we had cash outflows of a little under $200,000 from financing activities, being mostly the principal component of operating lease repayments as calculated under AASB 1016. In summary, we had overall net cash outflows of $2.85 million and a cash balance of $8.5 million as at March 31, 2023. As noted, we've also undertaken a review of our resource allocation and planned expenditures to best manage our cash resources in the current market conditions. At the end of April 2023, we implemented a cost rationalisation program which delivered $2.2 million in annualised cost savings. And this represents approximately 20% of the cash expenditure outside of our externally funded development projects, and these savings will be accretive from July 2023. The reduction in cash burn has mostly been from the mobile DR division and corporate overheads as we seek to continue to resource and focus on those areas that are critical to achieving our growth. Looking ahead, I will be undertaking a review of our operations and strategies to address the key goals that I outlined for the business earlier on this call. And as we move into the final quarter of 2023's financial year, our highest priority is getting Argus ready for customer demonstrations. We have a long list of law enforcement and defence EOD personnel that are lined up for trials, and we look forward to finally being able to bring our first security product to market. We will improve the contribution of the mobile DR division to our business. We have a number of customer roadshows planned across the US, and in addition, we will provide every possible support to successfully achieve our CE mark application in Europe to enable us to convert our European sales pipeline into further cash flow. And thirdly, we plan on delivering the two miniature CT baggage scanner prototypes to the DHS next quarter. I'll now pass back to Melanie, who will commence the Q&A portion of this call. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Scott Power with Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning, Kingsley and David. Just a quick question just on that European approval that you mentioned. So the notifying body has now said they will review it. Have you sort of got any indication on how long that review process might be?
Thanks for this question, Scott. We don't. But we're towards the end of the process, so we expect that the vast majority of the work has already been undertaken. I can't give you a time frame. They've not given us one. We know that they're going to commence the review towards the end of May.
Right. Okay. No, that's fine. And just in terms of the Argus, obviously that's the number one priority. Again, just in terms of those customer demonstrations, just a sense of timing and what might be involved with that? Is that something where they're handed one, you know, they review it over a week, or, you know, what's your anticipation of what that demonstration will look like?
Yeah, Scotty, I might hand that one over to Anthony if I can.
Yeah, hi, Scott. Anthony here.
Hello,
Scott. Yeah, but the first demonstrations of the Argus unit are already planned with the South Australian Police here, and that will actually be them taking the unit and using it at their facility. If they are happy with that, they will then go ahead and start using it in real time, so in their field of operation, so we can actually get some feedback on how it performs in the field. So it effectively is a fully operating unit.
Right, okay. That makes sense. And just in terms of that larger defence contract, what's the update on that?
Yeah, so Scott, we included a reference to it in the 4C. Government procurement processes, once you're in them, have some pretty strict rules around what you can and what you can't say once you're as part of the process. So we weren't attempting to be overly vague in what we put in the 4C, but the process is ongoing. We understand at this point we've been neither accepted nor rejected, but unfortunately we can't say a lot more at this time.
Okay, that makes sense as well. That's all the questions for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Miriam Lee, who is a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Miriam.
Great. Okay. Oh, congratulations anyway. I think MicroX is now going to be well served going forward. Anyway, look, I've got a lot of questions, so I'll probably want to keep going until you stop me. With respect to the mobile DR, what proportion of sales have been affected by the European hold-up? Approximately.
Well, it's a difficult question to answer because we haven't been able to sell any at all, Miriam. What we do have is we've got what we believe is a very high quality pipeline of people that have expressed an interest in demonstrating and using the product, but we've not been able to do that at this point because we need CE mark approval before we can do demonstrations of the product. So we're ready to go. And pending receiving that approval, we will be full steam ahead.
All right. So it's not like I've got shares in another company that had an approval and then it had to be reorganised and then they're allowed to start selling again. But you've never been able to sell in Europe.
Correct. The Carestream Nano, which is the same product, obviously, in a different shell. To a large degree as the robot, does have CE mark approval, but that's under Carestream's approval. We sought approval for the MicroX rover some time ago now. The change to a new certification method commenced, as I understand it, a few years ago. There's now a backlog of thousands of products awaiting approval. And as I understand it, I think they've just extended the grandfathering provisions for another couple of years to get through that backlog. But we are in the process, and we're at the. I'm pleased to say we're at the right end of the process, and we look forward to keeping everybody updated as to how that progresses.
Right. So at the moment, you're able only to sell in Australia, the US, and.
And other jurisdictions that accept the US's certification, and some of the Middle East and some of Asia do that. So we have been able to sell into some of those countries. But Europe for us, we've spent a lot of time lining up a very solid pipeline, and we're very eager to commence selling in Europe.
Right, great. Now, this may have been stated and I didn't quite understand it, but you've actually adapted the rover specifically for sports teams. You've got a special version, have you? And are you finding them that they are, the sports teams are taking it up with great alacrity? That's going to be a, an area that your sales teams are really going to target, perhaps.
Yeah, indeed. Miriam, I might just ask Brian to comment, because Brian's led the US team in selling into the sports team. So, Brian, if you'd like to take that question.
Yes, sure. So the product hasn't been specifically adapted for for sports teams. It actually fits sports teams in its current configuration quite well. What we were able to do was, through an early sell that we made to the Mariners, the local Seattle team, we were invited down to the baseball spring training in the United States, and that got an opportunity for multiple teams to have a look at it and led to a number of sales. And in that, it's opened up some new opportunities, because in the U.S., professional sports teams require imaging for the players at site as part of the contract for the employees. So it's been an opportunity we're excited to continue to pursue.
Well, that sounds wonderful, because there would be a lot of sports teams. Now, the other thing was, I've asked about this before, the U.S. Department of Defense and its needing of mobile X-ray equipment, and there was some doubt about whether you had gotten the application in time and whether that meant that you couldn't apply for another 7 years or something like that. Is that something that you still may be able to apply for?
Brian, did you want to take that also? You had some meetings recently.
Yes. Yes. So the conversations with the U.S. Department of Defense are ongoing. You are correct that we had missed an earlier deadline, but we've worked with the military, and that work is ongoing. The interest is there, but we're working with them on how that opportunity could look. I can't say much more detail about it, but there is interest there.
Okay. Well, let's hope so. Look, can I ask about the one that seems to me least hopeful, the stroke? Well, I mean, if you got the if you got it right and it was taken up widely, it would be a wonderful thing, both for humanity and financially for MicroX. But I understand that there's a fair bit of competition. I was just reading at the weekend, actually, that the Stroke Alliance is funding an unusual creation by a company called M-Vision, which works completely differently. But it also is funding a stripped-down version of a conventional CAT scan. And I'm wondering that, from what I read, it seems to be a long way before you're even going to be able to start trials of your version, and I wonder if the other two are going to get there first. And you know, is it quite... And the other thing generally is, when you get money from the Stroke Alliance for the stroke equipment and from the Department of... Homeland Security for the checkpoint, do those payments completely cover the work that you're doing for each of those particular fields? Sound as though I'm fumbling for words, but do you get what I'm saying, or do you have to then also reach into general funding, even just to cover the work, because you're running short of cash?
Miriam's answering here. I'll field that question. Okay, so quite a few questions there in one question. I'll start with the funding. Both I'll speak on Brian's behalf and on my behalf. The funding that we receive covers the cost of development of those products, and it will take us to a point where we can, in both of those, the CT baggage scanner and in the stroke imager, demonstrate a fully working product. Now, when we look to scaling up our production operations for that, that's going to require additional funding on top of those, on top of the grant funding, when that's necessary. But we would expect to be able to produce a low number of units in the first instance to generate some income to support that. The Stroke Alliance is predominantly set up to identify the best possible way of faster treatment of stroke. 85% of stroke is ischemic, and if you can administer TPA within the first 3 hours, the chance of recovery is much higher. Now, that points itself in the direction of point-of-care stroke imaging, and the Stroke Alliance is looking at all different technologies that may achieve that. The notion of taking existing CT technology, which is the benchmark and a requirement, in fact, for diagnosing if there is a hemorrhage in the head or not, it's difficult to reduce in size. Fundamentally, the technology is big and heavy. It's rotating 600 kilograms. So effort is being made because it's a known benchmark to reduce the weight, but it's always going to be very, very heavy and cumbersome and therefore expensive to operate. EMVision's technology is very different. EMVision's technology uses a completely different imaging method, which is not yet used in a clinical diagnostic way. So their technology is very interesting, and I see it as complementary, being able to monitor stroke progression, but for use as a point-of-care diagnostic device, where time is brain, it's got a long way to go compared to what we're developing, which is a super lightweight CT. We're effectively producing the exact same image that the conventional diagnostic decision is made from, and it's going to weigh 50 kilograms, not 600 kilograms. So the notion of being able to put it in an ambulance and move it to the patient is very real. The program itself is progressing very well. We have our initial images, as Kingsley mentioned, and we are looking to get into real patient imaging, certainly in 2024.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jamie Fitzgerald with Fitzgerald Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Good day, team. From one very passionate MicroX investor, obviously hearing the very passionate CEO has retired, Peter Rowland, I'd like to say thank you. But also by the same token, I'd like to hear the recommitment from the board of directors to Australia, because obviously a lot of us passionate investors have been with MicroX for a long time. We've seen our investment obviously go down, whether that be share price directly or dilution to pay directors. What's the commitment to Australia, continuing to manufacture in Australia and be an Australian company, or is this an opportunity for directors to cash out?
Jamie, thank you. We're in Tonsley here today, and our manufacturing facility is here. We are, of course, looking to monetize our products globally, though, as all good Australian companies do. And currently, as Kingsley said, our big market for the only product which we've got on the market right now is the mobile VR, is obviously the United States of America, but also Europe, which we've talked about breaking into. So I think our commitment as a company is we remain an Australian company. We remain here with a manufacturing centre here. However, our products will be sold globally. And I think, we should hold our heads up with some pride that has been achieved and will continue to be achieved under this new leadership team.
Well, my question isn't necessarily that, is whether or not you're scoping out buyers for MicroX. Is that anything on the agenda?
Sorry, are we doing what? I didn't catch you.
Are there any talks of scoping out buyers for MicroX? Are we passionate about staying an Australian company and being on the ASX as MicroX?
Obviously. The answer to that question, we're not scoping out buyers, no. It's not what we're doing at all. What we're focused on is obviously driving efficiency into our own processes, which was part of the announcement last week we made in the 4C. We've appointed a new leadership team to give us more commercial edge. We're focusing on that. And we're focusing obviously on being very successful in sales and marketing, and effectively monetizing our technology in every way we possibly can. So nothing's off the table. But certainly right now, we are continuing our focus is here based in Australia as our manufacturing focus. The board of directors, with the exception of Andrew Hartman, who comes from, is a very, very senior executive in Varex, who obviously did a very good deal with us last year, are all Australian. And the Varex deal, just to touch on that, you know, it's opened up new opportunities for us, for our tech, with the I think they're the largest supplier of imaging products in the world. So we have a huge partner and friend with us, and they're obviously Salt Lake City based.
General consensus there is we're passionate about, as passionate as Peter Rowland about making stuff in Australia and continuing to be an Australian company, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. A successful Australian company will do everything it takes.
Excellent. Moving on to the DR, the Rover. Are there just too many products out there? Because last time I was in America, GE really pushes their mobile X-ray machine, and there's a lot of other stuff coming from India, China. Is there just too many products? Because obviously, and another point I'd like to bring up was, obviously, you guys weren't at the Sydney X-ray imaging conference, and Channel 9, Channel 7 did a big story on Fuji Film's new portable X-ray machine.
Yeah, so it's a good question. It's a very good observation, Jamie. I think our view is that the market's crowded. There are many X-ray imaging products, even in the mobile space. What there aren't are any products that utilise the technology that ours does. So, and I think moving forward, we want to look at more ways and looking at more different opportunities to monetise our technology than just selling it within our cart. And so I think, you know, as we have more discussions, we find more interest in our tubes and in our generators. And one of the things that we're going to be spending a lot of time on moving forward is commercialising the technology, not necessarily just commercialising the cart. So we see the technology as really the value driver and the value that the business has created, and we should monetize that.
Okay, so you're possibly looking at what's more licensing, or perhaps moving more into just making tubes where, say, for instance, Fujifilm might want to use it in their products. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, look. Well, as we said in the commentary, nothing's off the table. I think what we want to do is we want to move our technology into the hands of more users and get paid for it and earn money. Whether that happens via tubes and generators, or tubes or generators, or however it fits together, that the quality of the technology that we develop and manufacture is world class, and I don't necessarily think it should only be sold within our cart.
No, that's fair enough. Obviously, being through your facilities and your team is just, it's all absolutely amazing. Just obviously getting the sales on the board. And I mean no disrespect here, but I've been with MicroX for a long time, and it just, those DRs just don't seem to be rising in numbers. What's going wrong? What do you think's going wrong?
Look, I think it's a crowded market, and the market's driven by some very large names. And those large names are powerful within the buying circles. What we're finding is that as we're having more conversations and uncovering more opportunities outside of the more traditional large hospital, they're much more open to a disruptive product and much more open to having conversations with us about the quality of our product and how it can help them. We're going to do a lot more of that. The larger crowded big market, big hospital market, is difficult. And look, we're partnered with a couple of very good distributors in the US. We have very solid pipeline waiting for us to get into in Europe. What we do find is when people get hold of our technology, they really like it and they see the value in the product, and we've got to get more people. We've got to get it in the hands of more people.
Yeah, I would believe that would be the case because there's obviously less moving parts, there's less things to go wrong, and you'd have to assume that this magnificent device that you guys are making would be a lot more durable and long-lasting than a hospital situation and over a long period of time save that hospital money. Is it price competitive? Obviously you can't obviously tell me what you guys are selling it for because I understand the confidential because you're selling numbers to hospitals, but is it competitive against like the GE Rover or the Fuji's gear and all that sort of stuff, and even stuff coming from China and India now?
The short answer to the question is we're very competitive. It's not price.
I wanted to hear. That's good.
We are committed to being very competitive on all fronts.
All right. Look, I've taken up a lot of time. It's good to hear.
I appreciate the questioning.
Passion there that you guys want to stay Australian and manufacture in Australia because it is obviously a long way back for us that started with MicroX a long time ago. We definitely want to see you guys succeed.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ian Craig with Craig Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I've got a couple of questions. With the departure of Charlie Hicks and Chris Anderson in the US, is this part of the recognition that the DR is just not what we'd all hoped it would be? And flowing on from that, is this hope that Europe might be something really destined to fail?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. I might just take that question in two parts. The first one is, I think what we have identified is that the skill set that we need to be successful in the US, and Brian has this in spades, is different to what you might refer to as a traditional large company distribution skill set. So the movement, Charlie and Chris leaving the business, is as much recognition that we need to do things differently. And we're seeing some real positive outcomes from some of the things that we are doing. And I think we'll continue to see more of that. So that's the first question. The second one with Europe, interestingly, the Carestream Nano also sold very well in Europe. So what we found is there was larger demand for the product in Europe than there was in the US. Now, interestingly, we applied for the right or the certification to sell into Europe about the same time as we applied for it in the US. It wasn't staggered. It's just literally taken 2 years to get to the point that where we are, and we're not alone in that regard. We are not by any stretch thinking that Europe is the answer to all of our mobile DR questions. It will be one part of what we're looking at moving forward. But Brian, who's going to be in charge of our US sales team, has expectations in the US as well. And we, as I said earlier, we continue to look at monetizing our technology. Mobile DR is part of that on a very global scale. I mean, Europe will be one part of that.
Okay. With the DR not living up to expectations that we've all held over the years, with the delays in the launch of Argus, I found it very disappointing when the company is coming out with things like the Reconciliation Action Plan. For a small company that's losing money, that's not meeting sales targets and isn't getting product out on shelves, that management is spending time on things that might be nice to have but aren't need to have. Are we likely to see a change under your management, Kingsley?
We'll take that as a comment, thank you.
Well, it's more than that. It's about focusing the company for a time where cash flow is light.
Ian, you do not need to worry about the focus of this company. That is in safe hands. That's why we appointed Kingsley.
Okay. Okay.
You have
Thank
no
you.
Worry about the focus.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Tim Krell, who is a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'd just like to start by saying thanks to Peter. If you're there or listening, your vision has been, amazing, and it's great to see that it's given birth to an amazing Australian business story. The first question I had probably relates to Brian Gonzalez the most, considering you wrote a paper with other authors in 2014. I'd preface this by saying I think the Varex agreement is really good. I think it'll open up many doors. But it was about the rectangular fixed gantry CT prototype. And in that paper, you used a multi-beam emitter to create a CT for airport baggage scanning. And I was wondering how you've clearly shown in the paper that you can deal with the image artifacts that occur by having it in a linear multi-beam emitter. But if it can be done with a multi-beam emitter and that technology has been licensed out, what advantage is there doing it the way that you're currently doing it in Seattle over a potential competitor doing it with a multi-beam emitter?
I'm happy to answer that question. It's a very good question. Quite frankly, the answer to that starts with Peter, and it's his vision of seeing how this technology could grow differently than everyone else did at the time. Everyone in the industry was focused on multi-beam tubes and still are, and there's real advantages of using multi-beam tubes. But what makes MicroX approach so unique and revolutionary is looking at how to use the advantages of technology to completely reimagine how the technology could fit into the broader market. And in the Checkpoint project, that's perfectly the example. The CT that was envisioned in that paper is functionally the same as the other CTs that exist on the market today. And if you built that same product, you would have a very competitive market space with multiple other conventional technology CTs, and your advantages would be limited. What we have the opportunity of doing with the Checkpoint project is working with the key stakeholder customer in the entire world, the U.S. government, who influences the entire way that security is done globally, to reimagine how airport security could be done, and doing that using unique advantages of our technology. Putting a multi-beam tube into the type of system that we have made for this wouldn't really be, you could do it, but there would be no advantage. It would be very expensive and very challenging to do. The way that we do with single-beam tubes is far more cost-effective and actually gives you a better image and a better system. And it's that combination of the technology, but also our relationship with the customer and the ability to think of an entirely new way where no one else can compete with us is what makes that whole approach different, not the fact that we can make a conventional Checkpoint CT.
Okay. All right. So it's a multifactorial kind of angle that you're going for by utilizing the technology. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. The other question I had with the checkpoints. So RapiScan previously had a millimeter wave scanner, but there were some privacy issues, I believe, in US airports where they were using these millimeter wave scanners, but there was an issue with the fact that it would give a kind of clay looking like model of someone's body. So that was taken off. But with the millimeter wave scanner for the checkpoints, so is it the fact that the machine learning algorithms do all of the initial scanning, so a person doesn't need to be there until a potential target is identified? Is that how the privacy concern is addressed?
Yes. Yes, exactly correct. It's the automation that obscures the image. An officer never sees the actual image. It's just the avatar that you see on the screen with a box indicating where a potential alarm is. The advantage of the technology that we're partnered with is that by doing multiple frames real time, so you're actually like taking a millimeter wave video instead of a static shot, you gather more data to have a much more accurate machine learning algorithm applied, and that will dramatically reduce the number of times that an officer has to come and pat someone down.
Okay. How long do you think, you have the hardware up and running, but how long is the machine learning model going to take to train, given that it would be, there'd be a lot of data that needs to be run through the model, and obviously with the seriousness of potentially getting a false positive or, false negative?
So much of the training has been undertaken. This project exists in parallel with other projects done and funded separately in U.S. government national labs that have been working on training these algorithms in parallel. The time will be certification and testing more than it will be training to validate it in the field.
Okay. Just a bit of a kind of future forward-looking statement. I have a plan to just hold on to the stock. So I was wondering what the company, after these products are developed and being sold on the market, what will be the future angle? Can you see that the software side of it will become a bigger side of what is sold as far as potentially a software as a service that can be linked with hardware provided by other companies in addition to that produced by MicroX, or will more products after these initial four have been developed continue to be envisaged and executed?
Yeah, I can field that for you. It's really what we're doing now in the baggage space and in the stroke imaging space is the platform technology for CT applications. We have a number of different CT applications, all sorts of different applications around full body pathologies, introducing lower cost spectral CT with photon counting detectors. There's a whole plethora of different product opportunities that we can target with our technology. As Kingsley mentioned a couple of times, the what we call the imaging chain internally, our own internal generator and X-ray tube and how we control it, we are actually already starting to make some early sales in providing real-time imaging feedback in existing systems, such as those used in radiotherapy, where they like to be able to control the treatment beam in real time. So there's a lot of different, hardware applications and products that we can conceive. All of them are going to require continual software advancements, feature sets, introducing additional machine learning algorithms, drawing comparative data using quantum computing for MRI, for example. So there's a whole heap of opportunity that we can actually start to leverage once these initial platform technologies are commercially in the market.
That's fantastic. Sorry, I've got a few questions here. I hope I'm not taking up too much time.
Can we just go to the last one and then so we can let others chat?
Yeah. Okay. With the actual marketing of the rover as well as the other products, with medical applications. What is the radioactive, ionizing radiation dose that is delivered to the patient? Is it lower? And if it is that part of the marketing campaign for Rover and the CT scanner? And if it's not, or what is required to actually, do you have to provide the data for that again for the rover and for the CT coming up, or how would it work? Because it's a square wave, isn't it? versus a kind of bell curve emission.
Yeah, look, the radiation dose required for different pathologies is set by the pathology that you're imaging, and we deliver the appropriate radiation dose. We do extensive dosimetry and measurements on our device. It is a very square wave. We do have a very fast pulsing by our switching X-ray source. We are undertaking some research to understand if there is opportunity to effectively deliver a slightly shorter pulse and therefore slightly less dose on the basis that we deliver a very clean dose, very early stage in research there. With the CT products, we have a very compelling advantage. Our approach on using an array of tubes, fast switching array of tubes, cone beam CT, means we can deliver approximately 15% of a standard CT dose to get the same image that you would get from a conventional CT. So there are dose reduction opportunities. We'll continue to explore those on an application by application.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Operator, do we have any more questions?
That's all the time we have for our question and answer session. I'll now hand back to Mr. Knox for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for joining us on the investor call today. Today, MicroX has transitioned our leadership team in a way that we believe will best allow us to remain commercially focused with a strong technical support. I'm delighted to have hosted this call with Kingsley, our new chief executive. I know he'll be speaking to many of you over the coming months. We're very exciting a quarter ahead of us as we aim to deliver our first security product and then move to generating our first Argus sales. I thank you all for joining us this morning and for Brian in Seattle. Thank you very much, everyone. That ends the call. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.